somebody what God done did for you.
Amen.
Until the next time, God bless and God keep is our prayer.
Amen.
B.I. Coco and Vieira, W264 AS, Melbourne and Palm Bay.
Good morning to everyone. Pastor Derry here with missionsforchrist.org. Greetings to everyone in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. David, we are told in the Bible, was a man after God's own heart. And he wrote something. He wrote many of the Psalms. David's desire was to build a temple for God, but God told him that he could not do it because he was a man of blood, a man of war. And so it was left for David to get all the materials for the temple, but it was his son Solomon that actually built the first temple. But that temple that Solomon built was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar in 586 BC. And at that time when the first temple was destroyed, the Jews who lived in Jerusalem were carried away to Babylon, where they spent the next 70 years, known as the Babylonian captivity. And when they finally were coming back to Jerusalem at the end of that 70 years, they began to build the second temple. And that second temple was the temple that stood when Jesus was and the apostles were alive. And it was adorned and added to by Herod, Herod the Great, who was a great builder. And Jesus said to those that followed him, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And they said to him, "Why, Herod has been building this temple for 46 years, and will you rebuild it in 3 days?" And then in Matthew 24, when Jesus' disciples asked him about the temple and what would be the sign of his coming and the end of the age, he told them that of the temple, that not one stone would be left upon another. And that prophecy literally came true in the year 70 AD when Titus, the Roman emperor, came against the temple and destroyed it in 70 AD. Now, the Jews of today, many of them have gathered in Jerusalem, and they plan to build what is known as the third temple, because it would be the third temple. And they've gathered all the materials and so on so they could build the third temple. So you and I are living in a day when we might actually see the construction of this third temple. But I want to go back to the time when David was a king. Before he was king, he was a shepherd, the eighth son of Jesse. And we know that God chose David to become the king in Israel. And he was a shepherd boy, used to taking care of the flocks of his father's sheep. And he was the one that was able to kill Goliath of Gath, the great enemy of God's people. And from that time on, we know that David was marked to be a real king, a leader in Israel. But while he was a shepherd boy, and later when he became a fighter and was fighting against the enemies of God and killing the enemies in battle, he wrote many of the Psalms. And so he did something that was very interesting. When he became king, he wanted to build a temple, but as I said, God told him no, he couldn't build it. And so he did something else during that time when he was a king. When he was a shepherd, he wrote many of the Psalms. All the temples that have been built, the first temple by Solomon, the second temple by the Jews, they have been destroyed. But the one thing that David did that was never destroyed and never will be destroyed are the Psalms that he wrote. His desire was to do something great for God by building a physical temple. But God had something far greater for him to do, and that was to write the Psalms, which are so precious to us today, and especially so many Psalms that we even quote from memory, like perhaps the first Psalm, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." And at every funeral today, you will hear Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." There are 150 Psalms, and if you want to praise the Lord, all you have to do is turn to the Psalms and start reading them, and you see that they are filled with praise unto God. Let's look at Psalm 8. "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained praise because of thine enemies." And so on. As we look through the Psalms, we see praise after praise. All through the Psalm, we see the exaltation of God, and we read of the excellence of God's word. We read that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. We read in Psalm 119:105 that "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path." And in Psalm 119:11, it says, "Thy word I have hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Reading through the Psalms is a rich and rewarding experience, as is reading through all of God's word. From the book of Genesis, where it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth," down through the book of Revelation, where we read that Christ is coming again, and New Jerusalem is going to come down from heaven, and we are going to be citizens of that great new city, Jerusalem, if we have accepted Christ as our Savior and Lord. Now, from Genesis to Revelation, there's no greater book that has ever been written besides the Bible. The Bible is God's word for us. And when we read God's word, we understand how we are to live the life that God has chosen for us to live, the life that God wants us to live. Jesus said in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 10, "I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." And that is what God wants for you. He wants you to have an abundant life. And the only way we can have that abundant life is by following God and keeping his commandments and doing what he tells us to do. God is a wonderful father who has great love for his children, and he wants to bless us in so many ways. The problem comes when we don't really want to be blessed by God. We want to go our own way instead of God's way. And the Bible says in Proverbs 14:12, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." I think it's interesting that that same scripture is repeated in Proverbs 16:25. "There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, God doesn't want you to die spiritually. He wants you to live. Now, you might die physically, and we all probably will die physically in some time or other, but that does not mean we have to die spiritually. When we accept Christ as our Savior and baptized into Him, we are born again. We are given His Holy Spirit, and we have this Holy Spirit to guide us through all of our life. And all we have to do, and well, all what we must do, is to follow Him. At one time, the disciples came to Him and asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus answered them, "That you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt not love thy neighbor as thyself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Now, what Jesus was doing when he was answering this question as to which is the greatest commandment, he was really summing up the Ten Commandments that God had given to Moses on Mount Sinai way back many hundreds of years earlier. Now, the greatest problem that man has always faced and faces today is how should we live our lives? Well, God has given us a book to tell us how we should live our lives. It's called the Bible. Our trouble comes when we don't read the manual. The manual is tell us how to live. Well, we don't read it because we think we've got our own way to do things, and we don't want to be slowed up by reading something that we don't think is important. But it is the Word of God that breathes life into us. It is the Word of God that teaches us how to live a successful, abundant life. And the tragedy is there are so many people that don't even know or don't even read the Bible. They don't think it's important. And they make a great, great mistake by trying to do things their own way and not God's way. Now here in God's Word, we read of the Ten Commandments by which the Israelites were to live. They were all right as long as they tried to live by the Ten Commandments. But when they stopped doing that, they got into a lot of trouble. And we do the same thing. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Now it is obvious that most people in the world do not love one another. We are in the midst of a great conflict today where the Russians have invaded the Ukraine. Soldiers are killing soldiers. There's no love there. There's only desire for more power. It's certainly not love. If you love somebody, you're not going to kill them. But we see it over and over again. Rulers lust for power and love of money and riches. And men love themselves more than they love God. Now, when Jesus began his ministry, he gave some very good advice to those who would be his followers. We read about it in Matthew's chapter 5, 6, and 7. This is a Sermon on the Mount. And if you want to know something about how to live your life, I recommend that you go to Matthew and read chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. That'll tell you how to live your life and how to put Christ first in your life. In Matthew 6, verse 33, Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Then all these things that you're concerned about, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink, all these things God will take care of for you, for He knows what you need even before you ask Him. Our problem comes in that we want more than we need. And we want all kinds of things. We're not satisfied with just the basic needs of life, of food and drink and protection and shelter. We want more. And so we do everything we can to get more for ourselves. We put ourselves first at the expense of others. We lie, we cheat, we steal, we do everything so we can get more and more for ourselves, and we don't follow the words of Jesus. We don't follow God's word. All of us have far more than we need. I have a closet full of shoes, and I don't ever want to throw them away because I think, well, I might need them someday, but I don't ever wear them. But they're perfectly fine, good shoes, but I don't really need them. I only need maybe one pair or two pairs to live and to walk around. Now, it's true, we all have needs. We need physical. We need food. We need water. We need shelter. We need clothes. We have emotional needs. We need to be loved. We need to love others. We have intellectual needs. We need to understand. We need to have wisdom. We need to have energy. We need to have life. We need to have strength. We need to be motivated to do something. And the Bible says, God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Our problem is we don't come to God for our needs. We come to God for our wants. And we ask things that we shouldn't really be asking for. We don't ask according to God's will. And Peter says, or James says, you ask and you have not, because you ask so that you might consume it upon your lusts. And we're always asking for the wrong things. The Bible says we should ask for wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. It means he's not going to criticize you for asking for wisdom. He knows that we're weak. He knows that we need wisdom. Well, the wisdom of God is contained in his word. If you want wisdom, go to his word. Read it. Study it. Meditate upon it. Memorize it. And you will be smarter than 90% of the people you meet on the street who don't know God's word. In fact, you'll be smarter than 90% of the people that live in this world who don't know God's word, who don't read it, who don't memorize it, who don't know what it says. And that's why they do all the things they do. That's why they make all the mistakes they make. That's why you make all the mistakes you make, because you're not living by God's word. And the reason you're not living by God's word, you don't know it in the first place. You don't know it because you don't read it. You don't understand it because you don't try to understand it. You don't think about it. You should think about it in the morning and noon at night. And you should pray at all times to God that he will give you the wisdom. And go to his word where you can find God's wisdom on every page. You might take the saying of the atheist who says, I don't believe in God. You know what the Bible says about the atheist? In Psalm 14, verse 1, it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So if you don't believe in God, the Bible says you are a fool. You might say, well, I believe in God, but I don't have much faith in God. Well, you know why you don't have faith in God? It's because you don't hear God. You don't listen to God. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You don't ever go to church. You don't ever hear the preaching of the gospel. No wonder you don't have any faith. You are not listening to God. You're not listening to the preacher preaching the word of God. You're not hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Stay away from church all your life, and you'll be the fool that doesn't know God's word, and you will have very little or no faith at all. People might say, well, I don't think you have to go to church to be a Christian. Where did you learn that? How foolish you are. Don't you understand that you're a witness? If you're a Christian, you are the witness to the world. You're staying home from church on the Lord's Day is a witness that you don't believe. If you don't partake of the Lord's Supper on the Lord's Day, you are proclaiming you don't believe. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Now, if you're not eating the Lord's Supper on the Lord's Day, you're not witnessing for Christ. You're staying at home. You're a terrible witness. You're a non-witness. You're not preaching the Word of God as you should by partaking of the Lord's Supper on the Lord's Day. Every true believer, every true follower of Christ will be in the Lord's house on the Lord's Day, or with other people on the Lord's Day, maybe out in the bush someplace, but gathering together on the Lord's Day to worship, to sing songs of praise, to worship in spirit and in truth. On the Lord's Day, every true believer will be a follower of Christ, and he will desire to be with other believers, not only on the Lord's Day, but whenever he can be with other believers, because he gets strength from other believers, and he helps other people. He gives strength to other believers as by his presence in the fellowship. The early church continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The fellowship is a gathering together with people of like-minded faith. The fellowship, the breaking of bread, that's the communion where you remember the Lord's death, and the prayers. We gather together to pray. And so worship is always a part of the apostles' doctrine, that is the teaching of the Word of God, the Bible, the apostles' doctrine, the fellowship, the gathering together of the saints, of the chosen ones of God who have come out of this world and are now following Christ, and the fellowship with one another, and the breaking of bread, the communion, and the prayers. This is, read about this, Acts. Where do you find this? Acts chapter 2, verse 42. One preacher once asked, why are there so many conversions to Christ and so few followers of Christ? Well, I can tell you why. The problem is people want to be saved, and so they'll go forward and accept Christ as their Savior. And then they become lazy. They don't become followers of Christ. Or they go back into the world in their own ways, and they don't follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord gave a parable about the sower that went forward to sow, and some seeds fell on the paths, and other seed fell on the stony ground, and other seed fell among the thorns, and some seed fell upon good soil, and it brought forth 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Now, the seed is the Word of God, and the people in the world, some of them are on the stony ground or on the path that hear the Word of God and completely forget about it, and the devil comes and takes it away from them. That's it. The stony ground, they have no depth. When persecution comes, they give up, they quit. Then there's others that are cared by the thorns and the thistles and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. They think riches are going to solve all of their problems. And so these people are not followers of Christ. They're lazy. They stop. They quit. And the true followers of Christ will bring forth fruit. And that's what the Word of God says. God expects you, if you are a Christian, to bear fruit. If you're not bearing fruit, there's something wrong. Bearing fruit means you're going out and witnessing for Christ. You're praying. You're feeding the hungry. You're giving water to the poor of this world. You are supporting missions. You're giving of your tithe to the Lord. If you're having financial problems, I can tell you exactly why you're having financial problems. It's because you're not a tither. You don't give 10% of your income to the Lord. The Bible says in Malachi 3:10, will a man rob God? And then you say, well, how do we rob God? And God says in tithes and offerings, you are robbing me. In other words, you're holding back what God has given to you. You're not giving back a tenth of what God has given you in the first place. And you've got financial problems. You will always, always, always have money problems when you don't give back to God, when you don't tithe. And the Bible says in Malachi 3:10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse of God and prove me. Put me to the test, God says. see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out such a blessing. You won't even have room to receive it. And that's what God says. So if you're having financial problems, there's your problem. Read Malachi, the Bible, chapter 3, verse 8, 9, and 10, and you can see the problem, the reason you're having problems. Now, the Bible says God loves you. He always loves you. He always will love you. He wants the best for you, and He knows how to give you the best. All you need to do is follow Him, read His Word, understand what He's saying in His Word, and you will be blessed. Give of your tithe to the Lord, and you will be blessed financially beyond your wildest dreams, wildest expectation. Every true believer that is a tither will testify of how God has so richly blessed him. I can testify to you that when I wasn't tithing, I was always having financial problems. But when I started tithing, man, the blessing began to flow. And this is true of every believer, of every true believer. Put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things that you're concerned about, what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, where you're going to be clothed, and all these things God will take care of, just like He takes care of the birds of the air that neither spin nor toil, but He feeds them every day. You are much more valuable than the birds, God says. Don't you think God will feed you? I don't ever have to worry about food. I have food every single day, more than I need, more than I should eat. But God supplies what I need every single day. Food, shelter, clothing, everything I need. But God supplies even more. He supplies to me His Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. God is really supplying Himself to me and to all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus went to the cross, gave us the example, as it says in Philippians, He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but became a man and a servant. And in the form of a servant, He even went to the cross and died for us that we might live, that we might have eternal life. And I'm looking forward to that, and I'm not only looking forward to it, I'm living it now, and so is every true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have Jesus with you every day to guide, to hold, help you, to hold you when you've lost perhaps your wife, your son or daughter, whatever. Jesus is there to hold you, to take care of you, to love you, to show you how much He cares for you. So if you made the foolish mistake of not accepting Christ as your Savior, turn around, repent of your sins, be baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and the receiving of the Holy Spirit, and you shall have joy, and God will be with you. Now, that's Pastor Derry, missionsforchrist.org, and go to my website. There's more there. If you want to call me on the phone, I'd be glad to talk to you, pray with you, help you in that whatever way I can. God bless you for now. I'll see you next Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. And remember, keep looking up. For your salvation draweth nigh, it's nearer now than when we first believed. Jesus is coming back, coming soon. I hope you're ready to meet Him when He comes. Jesus is your Savior if you accept Him and if you obey Him, if you obey His Word. Now come to Jesus Christ now. The invitation is always open. Come to the Lord Jesus. He will save you and He will show you His way.
I've tried hard, I just needed to trust God. I've tried hard, I just needed to trust God. to hide in a crowd, but they almost took me out. You see, I tried hard, I just needed to trust God. See, I tried hard, needed to trust God.
I've tried in my way,
but it took away all my faith.
Tried to save it away,
but the pain stayed. I tried hard, I just needed to trust God. You see, I tried hard, just needed to trust God. You're the reason I'm who I am. I wanna please you the best I can. Yeah, it's something man just can't understand. You see, I tried. I just needed to trust God. You're the reason I'm who I am. Yeah. I wanna please you the best I can. Oh no, it's something I just can't understand. You see, I tried hard, just needed to trust God. It seemed like praying didn't work. Oh. The more I praised, I hurt. Listen. And the waiting made it worse. Anybody ever been there? You done all you could and tried hard, but you just need to trust God. I tried to lie to keep it real, but God knew the deal. Find strength to trust him. Anybody ever tried hard, but you just needed to trust God? You're the reason I'm who I am. You just needed to trust God. Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, oh, oh. Put your trust in him. Put your trust in him. Stop trying to figure it out. Trust
him. I'm happy right now.
Your help is failing too.
You've been saying
the weight of the world is pressing you down, and when you need a friend, no one can be it's your blood. My Bible said 12 long years. But you know what happened? Go on and tell the story. She heard about,
yes she did,
Jesus passing through. She pressed her way,
pressed her way
through the crowd. The Bible tells me, she said, if I can touch the hem of his garment,
ooh, yeah,
oh, I know your problem is. Oh. Somebody got health problems out there. Somebody got high blood pressure. Ah, don't give up. Give it to Jesus. Somebody got a bad heart out there.
Jesus will fix it.
Nothing is too hard for God.
Oh, no.
I want to ask somebody, how many know Jesus will fix it?
Jesus
will fix it. Counseling not too hard for Jesus. Oh, God is fixing.
Jesus will fix it.
I don't care how big your problem is, Jesus will.
He'll fix it.
All you got to do is get in that secret cloud. Yes, yes, yes.
Jesus will fix it.
Oh, yeah, Jesus.
If you can't fix it. The Lord has blessed us tonight with so many people that have come to share, and we're going to bring another fabulous woman of God to your front. Please welcome the lovely, beautiful Beverly Crawford. Yeah.
Listening to WWBC Coco Merritt Island 1510 AM as well as W234BI Coco Rockledge 94.7 FM W264AS Rockledge Melbourne Palm Bay Indy Atlantic Indian Harbor Beach Satellite Beach 100.7 FM and W260CL Coco 99.9 FM.
Good morning. I had a good night's sleep, and it's my favorite day of the week. And I believe I'll start with prayer. Then get ready, cause I gotta get there. Soon as I get through the door, my hands up, feet off the floor. Cause all the saints, we go to work. That's how we do it down at my church.
Church. Thank you. And I can't help but to give God glory. When I think about my story, oh yeah, y'all, I got a story to tell. And I know you favored me. Because my enemies, they did try, but they couldn't triumph over me. Yes, they did try, but it didn't work. I'm still here. I'm still alive. I'm still blessed. On my way to my destiny, because the favor of God is on my life. Let me tell you about love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is felt most when it's genuine. I had a whole lot of people in my life who abused my love. They manipulated it and took the strength of it and tried to misuse it. But I can't help but to give God glory today. When I think about all I've been through, and I still came out on the winning side. I don't know about you, but I know that he favored me. Because my enemies, they did try. Sing it, y'all. But they couldn't triumph over me. Because great is he that is in me than he that's in the world. That's what they did. That's what they did. They told a whole lot of lies. But God favored me. My character. My integrity.
My faith in God. He favors me.
But it would not fall. Would not bend.
Won't compromise.
God favored me.
God favors me.
I spoke life. And prosperity. I even spoke health. He favored me.
They
whispered about me. They conspired against me. They told a whole lot of lies on me. But God favored me. My character.
My integrity. My faith in God.
My faith in God. He favored me.
Will not fall.
It will not fall.
Will not bend.
Not gonna bend.
Won't compromise.
Won't compromise.
God favors me. I speak life.
I speak prosperity.
And I speak health.
And I speak health.
God favors me.
They whisper.
They whisper.
They conspire.
Conspire.
They told their lies.
They told their lies.
But God favors me.
Favors me. My character.
My character.
My integrity.
My integrity.
My faith in God.
Everything was in
he
question.
Favors me.
But he favored me.
Fall.